Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 33 through 42. Once again, as I read these ancient words, listen for something new that's being spoken into your life and your heart at this point on your faith journey. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but on a lampstand, so that all those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. While he was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him. So he went in and took his place at the table. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give for alms those things that are within, and see, everything will be clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, I need you to work with me this morning in order to make the metaphor work. You see, we used to use these things called maps. Now, not MapQuest. No. Maps. Paper maps. Do you remember those? Of course you don't. There were these neatly folded, large pieces of paper that, when unfolded, would assist a person in determining where they were in relation to where they wanted to be. I know it sounds quaint. It is. So just work with me on this. We used to take these giant maps with us on vacation. You know, periodically we would pull over at like a rest area or a gas station or whatever and take out the map and we would study it. Okay, here's where we are right now. Over there is where we want to be. So, how are we going to get there? We would then trace the route with our finger on the map. We'd fold the map. Well, fold may be kind of an overstatement. That may be generous. We would mangle the map or wrangle the map until we could get it down to a size that we could cram back in the glove compartment. Oh, you remember glove compartments? Okay. And then we would get back on the road. Well, last week, I invited you to go with me on a trip, on a journey this summer. So much seems to be out of sorts in our lives and in our world right now, so we need to kind of regroup. And by regroup, I mean we need to spend some time engaged in contemplation and discernment, contemplating where we are at this point in our lives and discerning the best way to get where we need to be or want to be. And again, as I said last week, my hope is that during this time, we will engage in a discussion of some very fundamental issues and questions of life and faith. Questions like, who are we as people of faith? What does that mean? How does our faith get lived out? What does that look like? And maybe most importantly, how do those of us in covenant with one another hold one another accountable for such faithful living? Okay, the practice is called the examine. It's a daily practice of prayerful introspection that seeks to foster an awareness of how the Spirit of God is moving in and through our lives. Again, not just when we're gathered as a community of faith, but throughout our daily lives. It is pausing to ask serious but practical questions. For example, where did I see holiness? Where did I see goodness at work in the world today? And you think and you say, oh, yeah. I saw it in the waiting room at the hospital as a young woman sat holding the hand of a friend who was there for surgery. That's where I saw God at work. Or how about this? How did I extend the touch of grace into the world today through my words, my actions, and my thoughts? Oh, yeah. I did that by calling my neighbor who is homebound in order to check on them. That's what I did. Well, you get the point. The practice is about moving away from viewing the world and reality dualistically, you know, bracketing out that which is sacred, that which is holy from that which is not, and beginning to see that reality is all actually one. And that means that we live in sacredness all the time. Whether or not we realize it, whether or not we choose to act on it. The examine. Okay. Last week we talked about Father Anthony DeMello and the many spiritual guides he left to us following his untimely death in 1987. And one of those guides is entitled Wellsprings. The subtitle is A Book of Spiritual Exercises. In the opening chapter of that book, he offers 16 prompts to examine one's life, envisioning them as chapter titles in an autobiography. And the idea is that each prompt will lead to serious reflection that in turn might lead to substantive change. Last week we started the journey with this disconcerting prompt. These things I regret about my life. Yikes. Now, that's a difficult conversation to have with yourself. Believe me, you know, regret is powerful and it's paralyzing. But that was last week. And, you know, check out the service online. Think through that. Today, our task takes us in a different direction. Again, on the map. Today, we're going to consider the following. These things I have loved in my life, things I tasted, looked at, smelled, heard, touched. Friends, what do you love? What do you love? Now, at first, this may not sound much like a theological question, but just give it some time to work on you. You know, just let it work on things a little bit. What does it mean to love something? Now, give that some thought. How about this? What does the object of our love reveal about us at some fundamental level of our being? And can wrestling with these ideas lead us to confront our value system and our beliefs? You know, maybe this is just another way to pose a very basic theological question. Maybe what we love is just another way of getting to what we believe. You know, along the same lines as St. James. You remember these words, show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You know, maybe the things I love reveal the nature of what I believe. I ask for time to be alone and write down for my friends a sort of testament. These things I have loved in my life, things I tasted, looked at, smelled, heard, touched. A few years back, I posed this question to various groups over a several month period of time. And sometimes it was just a spontaneous, spur-of-the-moment request of those who had gathered, and folks would just then verbally list the objects of their love as those objects came to their mind. At other times, I had groups prepare a written list in advance of our get-together. But you know, regardless of the setting and of the prep, what was amazing to me that every single time I did this exercise, not once were the list filled with material goods. Invariably, it was a litany of experiences that, when described by participants, seemed to bring them to the very threshold of the transcendent. The smell of coffee, good coffee, the touch of an ocean breeze, the sound of rustling leaves in the winter woods, the voice of the beloved, the melody of a special song. As people shared their experiences of love, their eyes would get that faraway look as if reaching out to touch the very face of God. It was beautiful. A few years back, we talked about Father Richard Rohr's book, Breathing Underwater, Spirituality and the 12 Steps. And as you remember, step four was this. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I love that. A fearless inventory. A fearless inventory is like walking in your attic with a flashlight. You have a pretty good idea of what's in there, but then you come across that box that you've moved from place to place to place across many years. You never open it, but you keep moving it. It's got those big, you know, letters written in black magic marker. Letters that were written 20 years ago, maybe longer. And it says on it, fragile. All caps. All caps. Now, usually you just slide it aside and you move on, but not in the midst of a fearless inventory. No, this time you blow off the dust, you peel back what's left of the yellowing tape, and you open the folds and you let the light shine in. And on seeing the contents, your first thought is always, wow, I had forgotten I still had that old stuff. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. These things I have loved in my life. Love. A few minutes ago, we heard the words in the epistle of 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That was the question. And the answer was this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love. There's an ethereal quality, a transcendency, a moral edge to love. What do we love? Make the list, study it, meditate on it. And what does this list reveal about us and about our faith commitments? Rohr makes a wonderful observation concerning moral inventories. He says, it's not ultimately about highlighting all that we do wrong and then go about fixing those items in a sort of systematic or mechanistic manner. It's not about knocking out a to-do list. No. It's not about getting past something so we can move on to something more important. No. The point of an inventory is to bring some light into the dark places of our lives, into the dark places of our souls, because no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. Friends, if we want to move forward in our spiritual life, and we do, then we need to ask the right questions of our lives. We need to ask questions such as, what do I love? We need to be candid with ourselves, and we need to wrestle with the answers that come. You know, what a great place to begin a conversation with your life partner or your kids or your dear friends. These things I have loved in my life, things I've tasted and looked at and smelled and heard and touched. So take the time. Make the list. Yeah. But don't beat yourself up when you read over this list. Remember, we don't gather in a community like this because we are whole, but because we're broken. It's called grace. And as we do this, I can't help but hear Jesus' words echoing in my heart. Jesus said, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Well, we got to keep moving. We got to keep moving. Because Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Okay, let's go. Thanks be to God. Amen.